Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here's the thing, though. The thing about this is that times are changing a little bit. I mean, obviously, you know, and it's not, and movie theaters and people who make movies are adjusting to what people want. Now, I'll say this. I enjoy the occasional trip to the movie theater, and it's a good business. I applaud those that want to go see a movie. There's something about a 20-some foot screen. But I have a 75-inch Sony television at my house, and I like that. And yeah, it just so happens that the recliner that I have is made of leather. Jacob, it's leather. And so with a 75-inch TV and a leather recliner, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to beat that. So I usually have a tendency to wait. Now, the last movie that I saw, which will probably date me a little bit, I can't remember the name of it, but it was the life story of Kurt Warner, the football player, the NFL Hall of Famer, who played football, if you remember, where did he start his career? Indoor football with the Iowa Barnstormers, a team that's still operating today. And that was the last movie that I went to see. But with that being said, I'm one of those guys who will watch a movie through the streaming services. So it's not like they're not getting my money. The movie producers and those people are getting my money. It's kind of is it a different way, I guess? Maybe it's different because the theaters aren't. I don't know. I feel guilty. I feel guilty about not going to the theaters enough.
I mean, look, you got to have the right kind of movies, you know, but like the Dune movie, which I know Jad's a fan of Dune. I went and watched that.
That was boring. What are you talking about, Jad? That was horrible.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was boring. That was boring. Boring and predictable. I sound like a critic.
Well, maybe it was predictable if you read the books.
Yeah, I read those books about 20 years ago, and so, yeah, I could kind of predict what was going to go on.
Otherwise,
it was really good.
Wow, it was fantastic.
Well, I see we have a creative difference here on this show right now.
Creative difference. Have I told you this, Jad, what happened to me when I went to watch that movie? So I go to watch that movie because I loved the first one, and you and I have talked about the books. I've read now the first two books, I think, whatever. So I go to see the second one. And I'm like, all right, I'm really excited. I'm going to go by myself. And I walk in, and I knew I was going to be a couple minutes late, but I'm like, man, there really weren't any previews. And I see this scene.
This is a great story.
I'm like, I see this scene, and I'm like, man, this is how it starts? Maybe I don't remember do I not remember the ending of the first one correctly? And it's like, I'm watching this. I'm like, this can't be right. And I'm looking around, and the first thing I do, I walk in the theater, and you know, you get into it was the adult one. So you have like assigned seats now. And I'm like, man, somebody's sitting in my seat. So I go to sit in the front row. I'm like, whatever, I'm late. It's my own fault. I go and I sit down in the front row, which always sucks. I'm looking up. I'm like, whoa, this escalated quickly, like right out of the gates. And man, they must not have had previews or whatever. And it took me about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 minutes to realize I walked into the wrong theater. Oh, there were like three showings of the movie.
So I'm watching
the end of the movie happen. Like I'm watching the ending. I'm like, oh, crap. And I run out of the theater, go to mine. And then, of course, there's, you know, 40 minutes of previews or whatever. Got time to, you know, grab a cocktail and sit down and relax. But it was just like, what is happening here? I'm that dude, like, you know, shuffling up and down the aisle looking for my seat. Excuse me. Not realizing I'm interrupting the ending of the movie for everybody. So sorry if you were in there. But no, it was good. Deadpool versus Wolverine. Great movie. I loved it. I'm a big X-Men guy. So I that's my superhero group or whatever. So I had a good time. But we enjoyed that last night. Paul, let's take a trip around NFL camps a little bit. We'll start with the Chiefs.
All right, let's do it.
Who, by the way, just programming note here for the Chiefs and training camp. They get a lot of returns today to practice, so certainly good signs here. Hollywood Brown back at practice and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, they had both just been sick, so no big deal there. Chris Jones is back today at practice. That is a fantastic sign.
Big deal.
And,
big deal.
And Jalen Watson, activated from the PUP, he is back out there today, and he could be a big part of what they do. So you've got really positive injury stuff today from camp. But we want to go. Mitch Holthus has been doing his training camp tour over with fellows on KNSS, Steve and Ted. And so Jad's been able to take some of this for us and bring it over. And what Jad has today, so this is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, you hear the Chiefs games on our Odyssey family of networks. So Jad grabbed this, and it is Mitch. He's talking about Travis Kelce, and the setup here is just the leadership on this team. This has been the theme for me, at least in camp, is the tone being taken when you've won two Super Bowls, when everything's looking like roses. How do you get through the grind of something like training camp when you've been doing it forever? And it seems like probably the worst week of the year. Here's Mitch Holthus talking about those guys and what's been going on there in St. Joe.
And one of those is Travis Kelce. We get caught up in Taylor Swift and New Heights and Saturday Night Live, and Kelce has become larger than life. But, guys, I'm telling you, when he's here, he's locked in. And one thing I noticed last year was he was just unusually geeked out for these playoffs. He wanted to win back-to-back Super Bowls. He went to another level of intensity, even to the point, remember, where it went, maybe went past the line when he bumps Coach in the Super Bowl. But I remember before the Baltimore game, I do a pregame show on the field called Field Pass, and then I do the pregame, you know, in the locker room so I can run up and do the game. I hear Kelce, like William Wallace, shrieking in the room next door and going, oh, my God, what's going on? I ask Kelce about it. Like, why so intense?
You know, there's certain things that at this point in my career I see that we may need. And I've been fortunate enough to be here all 13 or all 12 years. I'm sorry, I'm giving myself even more more than that. Since 2013, I should say. And I think as a leader, I've over the course of these seasons, it's just kind of in me to try and do whatever the team needs me to do. And sometimes that extra spark of just showing the passion and the desire that I have to win and want to be that for the team and want that so bad for the team. Sometimes you just need to see one of your teammates or one of the leaders on the team, you know, show that drive and show that energy and kind of, you know, embody the mentality that you got to have to, you know, win a Super Bowl, you know. So it's just, I think the passion's always been there. How I show it has always been, you know, unique.
I mean, look, it matters. That stuff matters, I think, Paul. When we talk about the Chiefs, and I think there are enough new players that will be hungry. And again, history will motivate them enough, I think, right? Like history, they have that part on their side. Reed came back. Kelce came back. I know people were asking those questions. I'm not sure why. Mahomes is back. But it is, you know, you're talking about keeping up the intensity was the word there for 3 years, and really for them, it's been for like 6 years. And you know, Mahomes is about to have his third kid, and Kelce's dating the most famous person in the world, and Andy Reid is, you know, getting a little long in the tooth. But it doesn't seem like any of those things are messing with the chemistry and the formula that has made the Chiefs what they are. So, I look, I'm not concerned about it, but it is something you wonder about, right? When you've been the best, like those guys have been, how do you keep that up for that long? Don't you get tired at all? And it just doesn't sound like they have even a little bit.
Well, you love radio, don't you? I know you do. You love television. Yeah. I know you do. How do you keep it up, year after year? Because you've been doing this a long time, Jacob.
You do come to the office some days more or less motivated than others. And I just don't know that to achieve what they're achieving, you can afford to do that. Right? Like, if we're being honest with ourselves, like shows maybe in the summertime that we're doing here don't get us as amped up as a football season Monday to react to everything we just saw over the weekend.
Well, okay.
And I think at their level, like, you can't afford that very often, if at all. And that includes into training camp. Mm-hmm. And we know this about the Chiefs. They will install things now that they might use in week 17 because they've been working on it and setting up. Like, that amount of focus is wild, wild stuff. And they just, like, those three people, Mahomes, Kelce, Andy Reid, they just seem to never lose that drive, that daily drive. It's wild to me. But, you know, it's what we continue to hear. And it is, like, it's impressive. It's an impressive part of what they've done. Physically, obviously, everything's impressive. Mentally, everything's impressive. But emotionally, everything has been very impressive so far in camp. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's wild to see it from older guys who've been doing it for so long.
That's what makes football so special in the eyes of a lot of people. And by the way, you know, I made a mention that you love the radio show. You love your position on at KWCH and what you do on air. You love that stuff. It's part of who you are. But it's also 365 days a year, 8 to 5 or whatever the case may be. I mean, it's sort of a job. Football's not a job. And I think that might be the difference.
I think it is for some people.
Well, if it's a job for some players, then they probably won't be around very long, because football's not a job. It's a privilege. Football is something special, and it does have that, whatever it is.
But let's be real.
Okay,
Paul.
Go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers sometimes chooses to do other things and not be solely focused on football.
He's a different cat. Come on.
There are a lot of examples. Let me try to think of another example, because he's been the most high profile, obvious answer recently. Even the contract stuff. How long did Travis Kelce just get out there and play severely underpaid? Most of his career, right? Patrick Mahomes right now could be one of the dozens and dozens of NFL players with a contract dispute. They just don't let that stuff come into play. And it is wild, because the Chiefs have dealt with a lot of things off the field during this era of Chiefs football. A lot of pretty bad things, quite frankly. But it never bleeds onto the field. What was unique about last year is, for the first time, with, you know, Kelce bumping Andy Reid or whatever, like, you started to see some of that. And I think that's all the motivation they need. And that's what, like, that is all the motivation they need, is to think about that stuff last year. Really the first time that we had seen any sort of, you know, like, on field where everybody wasn't in lockstep all the time. Now, they won the Super Bowl, so they don't, you know, whatever. But that regular season was uncomfortable. And I think that experience makes them more dangerous this year. They're saying that out loud, Paul. They're saying, we don't want to let that happen again. And that's scary for the rest of the league.
Well, it is. But leadership is everything, just as it is on this show. Leadership at KWCH, leadership at the Kansas City Chiefs or any NFL franchise, it's huge. And, of course, there's the big difference. Let me tell you, Jacob, let me tell you what the big difference is, why things always seem to be unique with the sport of football, whereas maybe things are a little more common when you go through and you look at volleyball and baseball and basketball. And football is the only sport that you can hit people and not go to jail. That makes the cats that play this game a little different. You can hit somebody, You can hit them hard, and you're not going to jail. That changes the thought processes of who these guys are that play at this level. And I know that sounds a little crazy, but if you think about it, you understand that. So why would Kelsey get excited about this? And you think to yourself, my gosh, you're only into training camp a week or two, and here you've got a guy going off on it. No, that's just the way it is. That's the way it is with a group of human beings that hit each other and don't go to jail. That's the way it is with these cats.
Yeah, they're motivated to be awesome. It's good to hear. We just keep hearing that kind of stuff. One more note from Chiefs camp here. Just seeing this from Herbie Teope. Kadarius Toney spent some time in the medical tent this morning and is riding a cart up the hill. So I'll keep an eye on that.
All right.
And look, it's training camp. Well, I think as we see a bunch of players coming back from injury, it's hot as hell out there, and we'll just, you know, watch that kind of stuff. But we will keep our eye on it. We'll let you know any more news and notes that fall out of Chiefs camp here this morning. We'll look around the NFL a little bit as well. And we'll talk Royals when we come back. Let's look at the rest of this schedule now. We've seen what they've done. This is the team. We can, you know, maybe something happens to us, but this is the team that they've got. We'll look at the schedule coming up. We'll look at the overall schedule of things to come. It's all coming for you here on Sports Daily. Let's set up our second giveaway of the day. We'll give away a little HTO. We'll give away free iced tea. This will get you a card to get a free iced tea at either Wichita location, in East or West Wichita, or in Derby. More than 20 flavors to choose from. By the way, you can go in there and try them all for free. It'll also get you a free rain coffee card. Both of those available to a listener. All you got to do is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. We'll pick a winner every day. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. That's T-E-A to the short code 20357. Good luck, everybody, there. When we return, a little more Royals talk. A little on-the-field Royals talk as the trade deadline has come and gone. That's next.
...97.5 and 1240...
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this. What day is it? Wednesday?
Well, it's a midweek Wednesday.
It is a Wednesday. It's a hump day. And we're making our way through. So the Royals, Paul, are through the trade deadline. You and I both think they did a pretty nice job. And we look at this now, and you finish up with the White Sox, and then you continue the road trip with four games in Detroit. And you'll go up against some starting pitching that has been struggling, to say the least. And so you like the opportunities. Right now, I'm seeing Lorenzen listed as the Saturday starter.
Okay.
Which tells you maybe there's some Brady Singer rest coming, if I'm looking at that correctly, which would be fine. That's, well, he's pitching today. I'm sorry. So Singer goes today, but it's his spot in the rotation. So this is interesting. So let me see this, because let me go to the Royals starting pitcher, because I'm looking at a list that's clearly out of date here. So let me just look at if the team page is listing Lorenzen. So what the team? Okay, so yeah, they've backed it way off. So what we know is Singer will start today, and we don't know anything else for the next four. So we'll see what happens. Lorenzen may give somebody a break. Maybe they give everybody an extra day of rest and just go with him on one of these days, and it pushes everybody's starts back. You asked about Lorenzen. I don't think we fully know his role yet. But either way, you're going to have a pitching advantage.
Fair enough.
We'll simplify this. They're going to have a pitching advantage, whether it's Lorenzen or any of the five starters, in every game that they play in Detroit. How about that? You finish the road trip that way, and then you've got some really big series coming up. You get three games against Boston at home, which will start on Monday, and then you get, you know, St. Louis, who's good, right? And they added some players at the trade deadline, including Tommy Pham, who the Royals wanted, and he had a big hit yesterday. And then you got to go play three in Minnesota after that. Now, you do that, you get the Minnesota series after a day off. So if we look at this until the next day off, It is 9 games until August 11th before a series in Minnesota that is certainly meaningful, right? We know that. And they finish with a lot of meaningful games in late August and early September to the playoff standing. But I will continue to say there are, you know, there are series here where they've really got to focus in on. You've got games against Detroit. You've got games against, you know, Cincinnati, the Angels mixed in there. You've got some series that they really have to take advantage. If the Royals are going to do this thing, I think they have to be really good against really bad teams. I think that's going to be a big key for them. They have won the first two against the White Sox, really need to go ahead and finish that sweep off today. And then you need to go take at least 3 of 4 in Detroit. Because, you know, you get into these other series and those head-to-head things, they're very daunting, Paul, if you sweep or get swept. But most of the time, you know, otherwise, you sort of take, you know, you're going to gain a game, maybe lose a game in those series, again, unless something heroic or tragic happens. So to me, if the Royals make it, what they do against bad teams down the stretch are going to be a big part of that. They really need to be good against bad teams. They can't afford what, you know, you can't afford to lose series to teams that just aren't any good.
And when you look at the Royals, I think I get what you're meaning, and it's but that's why. That's
I mean,
why
how many games are they going to win against these really, really, really good teams? Is it going to be enough if they can beat up on the bad teams down the stretch and get close to splitting with the teams they'll be competing with the wild card? I think it will be. I think it will be enough if they can do that. Now, you know, you go look at the standings right now and. You know, Kansas City sits 10 games over 500. You know, is that 546 winning percentage going to be enough? Well, maybe, probably. And so it's hard because they haven't been very good. They've lost 3 in a row, but they're going to be good, I think. Boston is the team I'm not real sure about. Tampa sold, so you'd envision them falling out of it. Yankees are probably going to be real good down the stretch. They've won 4 in a row. The Twins, look, I think with the moves they made at the deadline, you could say the Royals have surpassed the Twins on paper. I think you could say that. And so you got, you know, I like their chances, but it's a stretch of games over the final 2 months of the season. Is we've tried to do this all year long. You go in, you sort of set goals for the team. What do they need to do? I would say for me now, it's pretty much split the games with teams in the playoff chase and beat up on bad teams. Don't lose games to bad teams. And I think that'll be enough for them.
Well, winning happens to solve a lot of problems, and that's exactly true. But you can't give up games to the White Sox type teams. Can't give up.
Correct.
You can't give up. You know, you can't give up to teams like Tampa. You just can't do that. Average teams even. And you can't do that, which by the way, I'm sitting here looking at this particular line with Kansas City and Chicago today. How the heck do you even bet this thing? I mean,
you have to give up some runs.
Of course you do. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, over under 8.5. Isn't that an under? Isn't that an under maybe?
Mm.
Maybe.
It's a neither for me. Neither? I mean, the problem is you kind of don't bet it. Because at the money line, you're going minus 235. You're not betting that on the money line. And so most of the time when you get that, you're like, okay, I'll give them, you know, I'll make it to where they got to win by 2 runs. Well, even just to get to plus money against a team as bad as the White Sox have been, you got to give up 3 runs essentially to get to plus money.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not.
Well,
it's
still Major League Baseball too, remember. I'm not playing that game.
Now, I will say that it is a Brady Singer day start where he has been pretty good, you know, for whatever reason, he's been good in the daytime. So, you know, you could look at Singer strikeouts. I like to bet innings pitched. I think he could get very deep into this game. I think betting Bobby Witt Jr. right now is a pretty good proposition for Brady Singer, you know, to record a win is minus 120. Mm. That's not bad. So here's the one, and it's juiced way down. So you'd have to go into a place where you could alter this. But at ESPN Bet, they've got Singer right now at 17 and a half outs, which would be, right, more than 5 2/3 innings. Mm. So basically, if you think he's going to pitch six innings, you make that bet.
You make it.
But it's juiced down to minus 190. Mm. And so then you've got to really alter that in to try to get to plus money. There's not a lot on the table here for the Royals today, quite frankly. And they've been this way when they play the White Sox. So I might look at Singer's strikeouts over. Don't love it. I think I'm more inclined. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. to hit home runs only plus 240. That's not good enough for me. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Well, today's
two hits for Bobby Witt Jr. If they gave us a multi-hit game, you could get plus money on that. But again, you got to keep in mind walks factor into that. Total bases is the place you probably want to go if you're doing that. And his total bases, you've got to get three total bases. You get plus money at three. I think that may be the way to go. So basically, if he has three walks, you hit your bet, right? If they're walking him. So total bases for Bobby Witt Jr. is probably, of everything I just looked at, probably the one I would be the most comfortable with. But it's hard to make bets when you're playing the White Sox this year. It just is.
Well, and Drew Thorpe's on the bump today for the White Sox. He's not a bad pitcher. I mean, he's 3-2 right now, and with a 4.1 ERA. I mean, you know, he could end up being a problem for the Royals, particularly on some of the bets that you were just talking about. So, you know, with that being said, I understand why you're staying away from it. You know, you would think, you know, and I don't bet, and I'm not really familiar with a lot of the different bets that you are. But I look at this and I think to myself, as a spectator, sure, I'm going to make some bets. I'm going to feast up a little bit on the White Sox. They're not very good. But it doesn't always work.
Out.
But that doesn't work out that way. You say it's juiced out.
Juiced out. Yeah, I don't like it.
All right.
I don't like it at all. So
I'm learning.
I wouldn't bet much. We'll call it this. I'll take Bobby Witt Jr. over 2.5 total bases. How about that? Ken, as we're talking Royals, has a question for us. So Gunnar Henderson, 928 OPS. Bobby Witt Jr., 987. Juan Soto, 1.031 and Judge 1.147. Who do we have for MVP? I think it's way too early, Ken. I think it's way too early. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what's factored in here, because you'll have, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. with the defense and speed. You'll have Henderson with the speed. You'll have the sluggers, of course, which is what he's referring to with Soto and Judge. You know, the easy answer is to say, well, just whoever has the highest OPS. But the thing about Henderson and Witt is they have so many other facets to their game that factor in. Maybe you got to go look at WAR, which I think Bobby Witt Jr. in total WAR is a little higher. I don't know the answer right now, Ken, because we got 2 months of baseball to play.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. If all four players end up in the postseason, I think you can look at that, but I think they're going to need to. I think the MVP winner is going to need to be in the postseason. I'll tell you that.
Well, and life is easier when you have that lineup of the Yankees with you, too. Life's a little easier.
Yeah.
Life's a little better.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with
that.
Yeah,
I know you would, yeah.
Look, there are things that factor into MVP voting. Bobby Witt Jr. has and is carrying this team. Now, is that reality? I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, starting pitching is carrying this team. Salvador Perez has certainly had a fine year. Vinny Pasquantino's. So I think it's a little bit deceptive. However, the perception is he is carrying this team. That will sway voters, probably. You know, that will impact things. If the Royals get on a tear and go down the stretch, and you're looking up and down the Orioles lineup, and you're looking up and down the Yankees lineup, and then you see the Royals and Bobby Witt Jr. keeps on this tear. By the way, if he keeps on this tear, he's going to win the MVP. But if the law of averages play out and you get these four guys who are pretty even, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to have a chance, Paul. He's new. He's young. People are really enjoying watching him play. And there is a perception that he is doing everything to keep the Royals in the mix. Again, I don't know that that's fair and actually reality, but that perception is there. He has that reputation now. And as voters look at that, that may factor in. And so I think we watch that. And I think that's a big part of it to help answer Ken's question there. All right, let's take a quick break here. We've got our HTO giveaway set up here. It's text the keyword T to 20357 if you want to get in on that. Let's take a look around some other things, some other stories developing in training camp around the NFL. Deshaun Watson, not looking good. We brought his name up the other day. He's not looking good. A lot of quarterbacks are getting paid. We can get Mr. Savage's thoughts on some of that as well. We get a wide receiver paid again here today as other wide receivers are holding out, the holdouts, the hold-ins. Just kind of what are we seeing around the NFL? We'll hit that next on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Bears and wide receiver DJ Moore reached a deal on a four-year, $110 million contract extension with $82.6 million guaranteed, according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Meantime, Bears fans will have to wait at least another week to see their rookie quarterback Caleb Williams in live game action. Head coach Matt Eberflus announced no starters, including Williams, will play Thursday night in the Hall of Fame game against the Texans. Elsewhere, Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson was back on the field as a limited participant while dealing with a calf injury. Head coach Mike Tomlin saying of Wilson, quote, "We'll play it day to day and play it by ear and do what's appropriate on a day-to-day basis." Cowboys cornerback Trayvon Diggs was also back on the practice field Tuesday after being activated from the PUP list. Diggs has been recovering from a torn ACL he suffered last September. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by: never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project: we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back into Sports Daily. Another wide receiver gets paid, DJ Moore in the Chicago Bears. Four-year, $110 million extension. The first... 82.6 is guaranteed. He makes history. He's the first NFL receiver to have the first 10 years of his career fully guaranteed. He was really good last year in Chicago with Justin Fields. He was good and talented in Carolina. You could make a case that he's walking into the best situation at quarterback as far as just a pure passer goes this year with Caleb Williams there. I know Caleb Williams is a rookie and has lots to prove to us. But DJ Moore's a really talented guy. He's signed big-time long-term deals this offseason, Paul. Justin Jefferson has been paid. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been paid. Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown have been paid. Brown again. Jaylen Waddle, Nico Collins, Michael Pittman have all been paid. Then we have the holdouts. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper most notably. It's been an interesting offseason for the wide receivers. They have taken a lot of the headlines. You know, outside of Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons in Dallas, it's these receivers who are dominating all this contract talk. I think it emphasizes the importance of that position. I don't know. I think it's become an interesting time for wide receiver, Paul, because you have these receivers have never been better and more impactful. But I would also say there's never been more of them that are really good and impactful at the same time. So another one gets paid. You know, the Chiefs continue to not have any of the high dollar receivers. Cowboys are in their own little dispute here. But it's, you know, it's been a really interesting offseason for NFL wide receivers.
Yeah, and what's interesting is the receivers that are still trying to get that deal signed. Half of them, at least that I know of, that you mentioned at the opening of this segment, half of them are in camp. Half of them, no, they don't have pads on, but half of them are there. They got their jersey on.
They're hold-ins.
They're hold-ins. That's the new term. I don't know how long that term has been around. What, a year or two maybe? But they're hold-ins. I haven't got it in my vernacular yet, but anyway, they're hold-ins. But they're around. They're going to meetings. They're doing everything. I mean, it's like they're a member of the team. They're sitting in on meetings. They're talking to coaches. They're in huddles, literally in the huddle, listening to what's being done. So it's an awe. I use the word holdout. It's not the word holdout that you and I grew up with, is it?
No, but I think there are different levels of it. Charles says, I love to say that's wild. Yeah, that's a good term. I use that term probably more than normal. Appreciate that, Charles. Appreciate you paying attention there. But it is wild. It's wild that these receivers are making this much money because for a long time, you know, the perception was, you know, great receivers don't win Super Bowls. I think Patrick Mahomes has made that, you know, we'd have to look elsewhere because he's had great receivers, but not expensive ones. But he's also Patrick Mahomes. So I think we have bucked that trend to some degree, but it is the business of football now and it's a pass happy league. So of course it makes sense to pay these guys. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. I think Cincinnati's got to get Jamar Chase done. You got to pick at least one of those two guys at some point here because you believe you have the quarterback to take you there. San Francisco and Brandon Ayuk are pretty interesting because they've got some other guys there. Ayuk's really good, but they have Debo that they're already paying. They just drafted a rookie. I don't know what happens with him. He's asked for a trade. Amari Cooper waiting for a new deal. So Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are interesting here. And Lamb has a case, Lamb has a case at the best receiver. I don't think Cooper's that anymore. But these two are interesting to me because the quarterback position for both of these guys is a little bit up in the air, right? We don't know what the future for Dak Prescott looks like in Dallas. It feels like to me they're just going to let him play out this year and then see what happens, which I think might be the right decision on that. But that doesn't mean you still have to make a decision on CeeDee Lamb. But do you pay CeeDee Lamb all that money if you're starting over at quarterback? Do you pay Amari Cooper all that money if Deshaun Watson sucks? Both of those teams are expected to be good, are expected to be playoff contenders. I think in the case of Dallas, you've certainly, I mean, obviously feel better about quarterback, but in the long term, you don't know if he's the guy. In Cleveland, you don't know if Deshaun Watson is anything in the short or long term other than you're paying him gobs of money. I don't know if you saw a couple of the throws he's made at camp. We don't even know if he's healthy, but he looks not good. Those two are interesting to me. If you're Jerry Jones and you're the Dallas Cowboys, you giving CeeDee Lamb, if you're willing to say, you know what, Dak, play this year out, we don't know what we're going to do with you. Does it make sense to pay CeeDee Lamb and make him the highest paid receiver? Because that's probably what he wants.
It might, and here's why, because you need somebody that, I mean, let's say Dak Prescott isn't the same Dak that we've known over the years. Well, maybe you got to have somebody that's a leader with the receiver, somebody that you can go to, that go-to guy. So maybe, and I can make a case for this, I can also make a case that wouldn't be the case. You need to go get, a guy like Lamb and get him signed, get him into camp, and make sure he's a part of this team just because you don't know where you're at. I mean, receivers are
they move on from Dak. Doesn't CeeDee Lamb then potentially help the rookie if you were to go that way?
That's I didn't make it very good, but that's my point. He's a veteran, and he will. Yeah.
Does it make sense if you're going to go through a rebuild to pay that particular player that much money when you know as you're rebuilding you're not going to win anything? I'll give you a couple examples. The Packers, before they turned the keys over to Jordan Love, they traded away their big star receiver, Devontae Adams, right? They traded him away because they knew they were going to have to rebuild. It didn't make any sense. Now, he wanted to be traded, but it didn't make any sense at the time to have that position paid that highly as a part of the rebuild. Mm-hmm. I get that philosophy. Right. Mm-hmm. I think what makes it interesting for both the Cowboys and the Browns is they feel like they can win right now, but I think both teams in the bigger picture are uncertain at the moment at quarterback. Now, if the Cowboys came in and they said, you know what, Dak, fine, we're going to pay you, then absolutely you have to pay CeeDee Lamb, right? Micah Parsons has got to get paid. I don't know what Dallas does here. I don't know if they can afford to do all three and just, give them a ton of money. I'm not sure. But I do think it's interesting with Cooper and with Lamb, as we see all these other receivers getting paid, that you do have to think about, like, what are we doing after this year at quarterback, right? If you're the Cowboys and you don't think it's going to be Dak, I could totally see them, not paying, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if I was in charge and I knew I was going to rebuild and I was going to blow it up, which is what they should have done, a decade ago, then I don't know that it makes much sense, even as great as CeeDee Lamb is, to pay a wide receiver. If you don't have anybody to throw it to and you're not going to win a game, doesn't it make more sense to use those funds and build up through the line and do the rebuild thing and trade and get assets and do all of that stuff? I think it's interesting. I think we've got interesting decisions to be made in those two situations specifically.
Jacob, how can I explain this to you? And you should know this, for goodness sakes. You're a Dallas Cowboy fan. Is the word rebuild in the vernacular of Jerry Jones or the Cowboy organization? Do you really think that they believe that there will ever come a time in the history of professional football that they need to rebuild? They reload. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's what they say, except they've done nothing in the last two off seasons to add to the team.
But they think, but obviously, if that is the particular case, which to a certain extent it is, they believe that they're where they need to be. They have what they need because
they don't, though. I mean, they don't.
But the mindset of Jerry Jones is unique.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
I understand that.
It's going to be different than a lot of NFL teams. And when you're specifically talking about the Dallas Cowboys, it's sort of a different conversation than, say, if we were having it with the Cleveland Browns or the Baltimore Colts, I mean the Indianapolis Colts or somebody like that. It's a different conversation because there's ego involved. Well, there's ego involved in every owner of an NFL team, but you get my point with Jerry Jones.
They're in purgatory, Paul. Make a decision one way or the other. I'm not sure Jerry knows it.
I don't know that he knows it.
Don't.
Well,
he does. Anyway, DJ Moore signs his big deal. The offseason dominated by wide receiver contracts continues. These young guys are getting paid and paid and paid and paid. And again, Chiefs fans, you just feel so fortunate. They let maybe the best wide receiver in football walk out the door. And what have they done since? All they've done is win two Super Bowls. I mean, it's wild.
Well, the NFL, it's wild. The NFL helped when they raised the base salary cap to, what was it, 35 or 40 million? I mean, it was a bunch. That helped a lot. That added to a lot of these contracts.
It's not as much to me about the exact – it's just about what positions are being paid.
I got you.
You know, it's all relative. Yeah, they raise the salary cap, but then the salary demands of the star players just go up. And so I don't know how much – I don't know if it's bringing up the floor. I hope it's bringing up the floor. That would be the intended thing for bringing up the salary cap. But I think in a lot of ways it just gets the, you know, the highest paid players paid more.
Right.
Which is, you know, which is the business of football, and that's just fine. Moore, the Bears offense, I'm bullish on the Bears, Paul. If Caleb Williams is worth a lick, they're gonna be pretty good this year. I can't wait to watch him play. And I think they've done a really good job of putting the pieces around him. All right, we're gonna take one more break here. We'll come back. We'll get you set up for the day, including some Royals baseball. That's next on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back into Sports Daily. Another wide receiver gets paid, DJ Moore, in the Chicago Bears. Four-year, $110 million extension. The first... 82.6 is guaranteed. He makes history. He's the first NFL receiver to have the first 10 years of his career fully guaranteed. He was really good last year in Chicago with Justin Fields. He was good and talented in Carolina. You could make a case that he's walking into the best situation at quarterback as far as just a pure passer goes this year with Caleb Williams there. I know Caleb Williams is a rookie and has lots to prove to us. But DJ Moore's a really talented guy. He's signed big-time long-term deals this offseason, Paul. Justin Jefferson has been paid. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been paid. Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown have been paid. Brown again. Jaylen Waddle, Nico Collins, Michael Pittman have all been paid. Then we have the holdouts. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper most notably. It's been an interesting offseason for the wide receivers. They have taken a lot of the headlines. You know, outside of Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons in Dallas, it's these receivers who are dominating all this contract talk. I think it emphasizes the importance of that position. I don't know. I think it's become an interesting time for wide receiver, Paul, because you have these receivers have never been better and more impactful. But I would also say there's never been more of them that are really good and impactful at the same time. So another one gets paid. You know, the Chiefs continue to not have any of the high dollar receivers. Cowboys are in their own little dispute here. But it's, you know, it's been a really interesting offseason for NFL wide receivers.
Yeah. And what's interesting is the receivers that are still trying to get that deal signed. Half of them, at least that I know of, that you mentioned at the opening of this segment, half of them are in camp. Half of them, they don't have pads on, but half of them are there. They got their jersey on.
They're hold-ins.
That's the new term. I don't know how long that term has been around. What, a year or two maybe? But they're hold-ins. I haven't got it in my vernacular yet. But anyway, they're hold-ins. But they're around. They're going to meetings. They're doing everything. I mean, it's like they're a member of the team. They're sitting in on meetings. They're talking to coaches. They're in huddles, literally in the huddle, listening to what's being done. So I use the word holdout. It's not the word holdout that you and I grew up with, is it?
No, but I think there are different levels of it. Charles says, I love to say that's wild. Yeah, That's a good term. I use that term probably more than normal. Appreciate that, Charles. Appreciate you paying attention there. But it is wild. It's wild that these receivers are making this much money, because for a long time, you know, the perception was, you know, great receivers don't win Super Bowls. I think Patrick Mahomes has made that. You know, we'd have to look elsewhere because he's had great receivers, but not expensive ones. But he's also Patrick Mahomes. So, I think we have bucked that trend to some degree. But it is the business of football now, and it's a pass-happy league. So, of course, it makes sense to pay these guys. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. I think Cincinnati's got to get Jamar Chase done. You got to pick at least one of those two guys at some point here, because you believe you have the quarterback to take you there. San Francisco and Brandon Ayuk are pretty interesting because they've got some other guys there. Ayuk's really good, but they have Debo that they're already paying. They just drafted a rookie. I don't know what happens with him. He's asked for a trade. Amari Cooper waiting for a new deal. So Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are interesting here. And Lamb has a case, Lamb has a case at the best receiver. I don't think Cooper's that anymore. But these two are interesting to me, because the quarterback position for both of these guys is a little bit up in the air, right? We don't know what the future for Dak Prescott looks like in Dallas. It feels like to me they're just going to let him play out this year and then see what happens, which I think might be the right decision on that. But that doesn't mean you still have to make a decision on CeeDee Lamb. But do you pay CeeDee Lamb all that money if you're starting over at quarterback? Do you pay Amari Cooper all that money if Deshaun Watson sucks? Both of those teams are expected to be good, are expected to be playoff contenders. I think in the case of Dallas, obviously feel better about quarterback, but in the long term, you don't know if he's the guy. In Cleveland, you don't know if Deshaun Watson is anything in the short or long term, other than you're paying him gobs of money. I don't know if you saw a couple of the throws he's made at camp. We don't even know if he's healthy, but he looks not good. Those two are interesting to me. If you're Jerry Jones and you're the Dallas Cowboys, you giving CeeDee Lamb, if you're willing to say, you know what, Dak, play this year out, we don't know what we're going to do with you. Does it make sense to pay CeeDee Lamb and make him the highest paid receiver? Because that's probably what he wants.
It might, and here's why: because you need somebody that, I mean, let's say Dak Prescott isn't the same Dak that we've known over the years. Well, maybe you got to have somebody that's a leader with the receiver, somebody that you can go to, that go-to guy. So maybe, and I can make a case for this, I can also make a case that wouldn't be the case. You need to go get a guy like Lamb and get him signed, get him into camp, and make sure he's a part of this team, just because you don't know where you're at. I mean, receivers are
they move on from Dak. Doesn't CeeDee Lamb then potentially help the rookie if you were to go that way?
That's my point. I didn't make it very good, but that's my point. He's a veteran, and he will. Yeah.
Does it make sense if you're going to go through a rebuild to pay that particular player that much money when you know as you're rebuilding you're not going to win anything? I'll give you a couple examples. The Packers, before they turned the keys over to Jordan Love, they traded away their big star receiver, Devontae Adams, right? They traded him away because they knew they were going to have to rebuild. It didn't make any sense. Now, he wanted to be traded, but it didn't make any sense at the time to have that position paid that highly as a part of the rebuild. Mm-hmm. I get that philosophy. Right. Mm-hmm. I think what makes it interesting for both the Cowboys and the Browns is they feel like they can win right now, but I think both teams in the bigger picture are uncertain at the moment at quarterback. Now, if the Cowboys came in and they said, you know what, Dak, fine, we're going to pay you, then absolutely you have to pay CeeDee Lamb, right? Micah Parsons has got to get paid. I don't know what Dallas does here. I don't know if they can afford to do all three and just, you know, give them a ton of money. I'm not sure. But I do think it's interesting with Cooper and with Lamb, as we see all these other receivers getting paid, that you do have to think about, like, what are we doing after this year at quarterback, right? If you're the Cowboys and you don't think it's going to be Dak, I could totally see them, you know, not paying, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if I was in charge and I knew I was going to rebuild and I was going to blow it up, which is what they should have done, you know, a decade ago, then I don't know that it makes much sense, even as great as CeeDee Lamb is, to pay a wide receiver. If you don't have anybody to throw it to and you're not going to win a game, doesn't it make more sense to use those funds and build up through the line and do the rebuild thing and trade and get assets and do all of that stuff? I think it's interesting. I think we've got interesting decisions to be made in those two situations specifically.
Jacob, how can I explain this to you? And you should know this, for goodness sakes. You're a Dallas Cowboy fan. Is the word rebuild in the vernacular of Jerry Jones or the Cowboy organization? Do you really think that they believe that there will ever come a time in the history of professional football that they need to rebuild? They reload. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's what they say, except they've done nothing in the last two off seasons to add to the add to the team.
But they think, but obviously, if that is the particular case, which to a certain extent it is, they believe that they're where they need to be. They have what they need, because
they don't, though. I mean, they don't.
But the mindset of Jerry Jones is unique.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I understand that.
It's going to be different than a lot of NFL teams. And when you're specifically talking about the Dallas Cowboys, it's sort of a different conversation than, say, if we were having it with the Cleveland Browns or the Baltimore Colts, I mean, the Indianapolis Colts or somebody like that. It's a different conversation because there's ego involved. Well, there's ego involved in every owner of an NFL team, but you get my point with Jerry Jones.
They're in purgatory, Paul. Make a decision one way or the other.
I'm not sure Jerry
sign
knows
back
it.
In CD.
I don't know that he knows
or don't.
It. Well,
he does.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't. Anyway, DJ Moore signs his big deal. The offseason dominated by wide receiver contracts continues. These young guys are getting paid and paid and paid and paid. And again, Chiefs fans, you just feel so fortunate. Mm-hmm. They let maybe the best wide receiver in football walk out the door. And what have they done since? All they've done is win two Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's wild.
Well, the NFL helped when they raised the base salary cap to, what was it, 35 or 40 million? I mean, it was a bunch. That helped a lot. That added to a lot of these contracts.
It's not as much to me about the exact – it's just about what positions are being paid.
I got you.
You know, it's all relative. Yeah, they raise the salary cap, but then the salary demands of the star players just go up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how much – I don't know if it's bringing up the floor. I hope it's bringing up the floor. That would be the intended thing for bringing up the salary cap. But I think in a lot of ways it just gets the highest paid players paid more.
Right.
Which is the business of football, and that's just fine. Moore, the Bears offense. I'm bullish on the Bears, Paul. If Caleb Williams is worth a lick, they're gonna be pretty good this year. I can't wait to watch him play. And I think they've done a really good job of putting the pieces around him. All right, we're gonna take one more break here. We'll come back. We'll get you set up for the day, including some Royals baseball. That's next on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.